Let's see. So we're in the middle of a series here. We'd say it's called a one-on-one. Is that what the series is called? One-on-one. And so we're attempting to have these one-on-one conversations in a group setting. So basically the idea is this. Over the past several years, both Sean Hallett and I, in our conversations with people, when we have those real talks, you know, those real talks where someone needs to sit down with you and say, okay, here's what's going on. There are these issues that keep bubbling up to the surface, these reoccurring themes, I guess you could say. And so we're talking about some of these reoccurring issues in this one-on-one series. And so we took a little bit of a break from that last week. On last Sunday, we had our Texas mission team talk back. And if you were not available to be here for that, that is available. You can listen to the podcast. I'd highly recommend that. I'm so pleased with how that turned out. It was so great to hear some of your stories. I know we only got like a sliver of the experience, but we got an idea of what our team did. And I want to show you this. Our team brought me back a gift. Check this out. What do you think of that, huh? Pretty nice, huh? Although I do have a couple issues with this shirt. For one, it's orange, and that's not really like, that doesn't fall into like my color scheme. I'm more of like a fall and a winter. But the real thing is this, like, am I allowed to wear this? I didn't go on the trip. I feel like a fraud wearing this, right? They said I could. I feel like maybe we should just frame it and like put it somewhere and it could be like a, I don't know. I'm wrestling with it. What's that? Next Sunday, you want me to wear it? We'll see. I don't know. Don't hold your breath. But thank you for this and thank you to our mission team. Last week, as the team got up and as they were sharing, Kelly was one of our team members, one of the leaders of the team, and she talked about this shirt and how, was it the first day you were all required to wear this orange shirt? And she talked about how that made a connection with her. She's like, okay, when I put this on, everybody's going to know, like, this is who I am. I'm there as a part of this mission team. I'm here, you know, representing Jesus. And she talked about the weight she felt. You know, it's a thin shirt, but the weight of like, okay, here I am. People are going to see me at work and know that I'm a part of this. People are going to see me and make a connection between me and Jesus. And I'm so glad she shared that, because that's a real thing, to have this realization of all of a sudden, wow, who I am is a reflection of who Jesus is. That's a big deal. And Kelly talked about the fact that it's not just when we wear these shirts or when you wear your Hope Community Church shirts, some of you have those on today, or whenever you're out there and you have that shirt on, you're representing, yes, our church, but also Jesus. I got to tell you a story. I think this is a couple years ago, maybe about a year and a half or so. I received this story, so this is like secondhand, third-hand information. But I heard that there was a gentleman who was wearing one of our shirts, our Hope Community Church shirts, and like we encourage people, wear them around. You know, we don't really have any advertising. We don't really do that kind of stuff. We just have people wear their shirts, and you can wear them during your service projects, or just wear them. Just wear your shirts. And so there was a guy wearing one of our shirts, and he was at a bar. So he was at a bar, which is fine. You're allowed to wear your shirts to the bar, and that's absolutely fine. I don't have a problem with that. Problem is this, though. This gentleman was being what's a polite word for it? He was being a little bit obnoxious, okay? That's a polite word. Can I say that? Yeah, he was being a little bit obnoxious, and I don't know if, you know, consuming too much was a factor. I don't know. I don't know the story. But he was kind of being an instigator and trying to talk politics with people and trying to argue with people. Some people, you know, people like that who just want to argue. Anyway, and so he's being a little bit obnoxious, and it's like, okay, whatever, but he's wearing one of our shirts. Ah, if you're going to act like that, get changed before you go in, right? What's going on? And so I hear this story, and let me first tell you that this is an isolated incident. Over the years, when people find out I'm the pastor of Hope Church, most of the time they say, well, I don't know what that's, where are you, what is that? But when they do know who we are, they say positive things. I can think of a grand total of two times where people have said, well, I saw somebody doing this with one of your shirts on. Okay, so this is one of these isolated incidents, okay? And so as soon as I heard this story, let me just walk you through my reaction process, okay? Here's how I reacted to that. When I heard this story, the first thought I thought is, oh no, this is a negative reflection on me, right? I took it personally. I made it about me because I'm a human being and I'm self-centered, and that's what we all struggle with. And so I made it, I'm the pastor of this church, and here's this guy going out wearing our church name. And this, by the way, this is not just some job for me. You know that, right? Like, this is my life, and this, like, we started this church, we planted this church. Like, I'm invested. I've got skin in the game here. This is just like a place I work, right? And so here's this guy wearing this shirt, and he's misrepresenting me because I made it about myself initially, which was wrong. And then I got over that. I thought, oh no, it's bigger than that. See, this guy, he's misrepresenting our church, because those of you who are members of this congregation, we're not obnoxious, are we? We're not, well, are we? I didn't think so. We're decent people. When new people come in and visit with us, they say, you know what, they're like, it's a really nice group of people. We're friendly, we're outgoing, and like, listen, we all have our obnoxious moments, at least I do. But that doesn't represent who we are as a church, right? For someone to go out there, I mean, how do you feel about that? If those of you who are like, you're at a place where you're like, you know what, I'm a part of this. I'm not just a visitor, I'm not a guest, I'm a part of this. How does that make you feel to know that someone was out there misrepresenting you and us and what we're about? Oh, man. Again, just change your shirt, dude. You know what I mean? But then after I got over that, I realized, okay, this situation is a bit bigger than just our one local church, right? I mean, this is a misrepresentation of who Jesus is and what he's about. Because this whole church thing belongs to Jesus. This movement that we call the church belongs to Jesus. And so when we go out there and we are wearing that shirt or are somehow identified as a Christian, somehow identified as a member of a church, we're representing Jesus. And I thought, how many times, let's just be honest, how many times have we misrepresented Jesus? I mean, maybe we weren't wearing our shirts, right? But how many times have we said things or done things or expressed attitudes or even on, you know, your social media life, you post things or you share things or you like things that just aren't a representation of who Jesus is? Now, here's the reality, and we're going to take a look at this scripture passage that David read for us. But before we do that, here's the reality that we have to come to terms with. All of us, if you're in this room right now and you consider yourself a follower of Jesus or a Christian or a member of this church or a disciple or all the above, even if you're just kind of tiptoeing into this whole Jesus stuff, right? People are going to look at you and they're going to make a connection between who you are, what you say, what you do, what you share, what you like, what you send. They're going to make a connection between who you are and Jesus. And let me give you my again, we're just trying to be honest with each other, okay? Let me give you my initial response to that reality. I feel like, well, that's not fair, right? When I said yes to Jesus, when I said, and I'm speaking figuratively, when I said yes to Jesus, when I said, yeah, I want to become a follower of Jesus, when I said yes, I want to receive that free gift of salvation that you can only find in Christ alone, when I said yes to those things, I wasn't signing up to be his ambassador. I wasn't signing up to be his representative in the world. So it kind of feels unfair. And if you feel that way, just kind of, you're allowed to feel that way. It doesn't feel fair. But then let's think about it. My goodness. Let's think about it from the other angle, from the other perspective. What about Jesus? I mean, poor Jesus. Poor Jesus. He's stuck with us to be his ambassadors, to be his representatives on the earth. That's not fair to him either. And so if you have that kind of wrestling feeling, it's like, well, I'm kind of new to this whole thing, or maybe I've been following Jesus for my entire life, but I'm still not ready to think of myself as an ambassador. Like, I get that, and I get that it feels like it's not fair, but what's fair got to do with it? Doesn't matter if it's fair or not. It just is. It just is. And so whether you're wearing your shirt out in public, or whether you're not, or whether you're wearing a cross, or whether you have a tattoo that says Christ follower, does anybody have that? If whatever it is, wherever you go, if people know that there's a connection between you and a church or a connection between you and Jesus, they're going to make a connection between how you act, what you say, and who you understand this, right? And who Jesus is. And it's not really a question of whether or not it's fair. It just is. Let's take a look at this scripture passage. I mean, if you don't believe what I've just said, like, it's in the Bible. So let's take a look at this passage. This is the book of 2 Corinthians. Just, what was it? Just a couple verses that David read for us. And so this was written by Paul. And to give you a little bit of backstory about Paul, I mean, Paul had this amazing kind of life journey and these experiences with Jesus. And at one point in time, he was very much convinced that Jesus was a liar and a blasphemer, and he's trying to squash this whole movement that Jesus started. And then he has this experience where he meets Jesus in this vision, this wonderful, weird, miraculous thing, and then he becomes, oh, okay, well, yeah, I was wrong. He realizes he was wrong, right? He backed the wrong horse, and now he's like, okay, Jesus is the way to go. Jesus really is God. And so he does this work. You call it missionary work. You can call it church planning work. You can call it sharing the gospel, whatever you want to call it. He goes around the different territories, different pieces of geography, telling people about Jesus. say, hey, have you heard of God? Let me tell you about the one true God. Let me tell you how much he loves you. Let me tell you what he's done for you. And so he does this. And the life that Paul lived and the work that he did was tremendously, tremendously, tremendously messy because he had to go in these places. And Paul, not being Christ himself, Paul being a human being, Paul, you know, he wasn't a perfect ambassador of Christ either. None of us are. And yet he had this work to do. He goes around these places, tells people about Jesus, tells people about the gospel. And so it was messy. People had these different backgrounds. There were some people that had some sort of idea of the God of the Jewish Bible, what we would call the God of the Old Testament, right? And so there were some people kind of knew about that God. There were some people that didn't believe in any God. There were some people that believed a whole bunch of gods. And he had to work with all these different people coming from all these different backgrounds and say, well, let me tell you what's up actually, okay? A lot of ideas out there about God, a lot of ideas. Let me tell you what actually happened. Let me tell you who God actually is. And so this is the work that he had to do. And most of our New Testament is made up of letters written by Paul, writing letters back to these churches, telling them, you're doing it wrong. you're doing it wrong. That's not quite it. And I think he could write us some letters too, right? You know what I mean? Not quite there. Not quite it. Not quite it. And that was his job and that was his life. And so he's writing this, and I would encourage you, listen, give yourself a little treat this afternoon. Read this whole chapter on what Paul has to say to the Corinthian church. That they were an especially messy congregation, by the way. Lots of stuff going on there. And so he writes to them, and he just kind of clarifies what I've just said to you. He says this, we are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. And I imagine they felt the same way that we do today. It's like, when did I sign up for that? When did I volunteer to be a representative of Jesus? He says, no, regardless of how you feel about it, regardless of whether or not you think it's fair, it's just the reality. We are Christ's ambassador. As though God were making his appeal through us. I feel like you just gave us a burden and then made it that much heavier, right? We are his ambassadors as if God is making his case to the world through us. Wow. I feel like the people in the first row can always tell when I'm excited because you can see my goosebumps, okay? First couple rows. This is goosebump excitement here. Wow, he's making his appeal through us. Now, some of you, it's like ancient history, but back when we started this series, I talked about this whole exhorting thing. Is that stuff familiar? And how it's part of my job as a pastor to make these pleas and to plead and plead and plead with you. And so it's kind of like Paul saying, we're doing some exhorting and encouraging and appealing on behalf of God to the human race, to the messed up, dysfunctional human race that we're still a part of. Whoa! We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you. This is what we're doing. We're imploring people. All these different terms that mean the same thing. Pleading with people. Imploring. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Not on my behalf. Not on your behalf. Not because I get some. No. On Christ's behalf, we implore you to be reconciled to God. This is the work that God has given us to do. To make people aware of who God is and what's important to them, to make people aware of who Jesus is, to be a reflection of the love of Jesus, to articulate in words the gospel message of salvation in Christ. Be reconciled to God. This is Christ's desire. This is for Christ's behalf. Christ did all this work because he wants us to be reconciled with him. God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us so that in him we might become. You see that? You see that? Can I even finish this sentence? Look at your bulletin. What does it say? So that we might become the righteousness of God. You've just taken a heavy burden and just, oh man, how we spoke. We're ambassadors. We have to make an appeal on God's behalf. And we, messed up human beings that we are, and if you're not messed up, then I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to people like me who struggle with sin and selfishness and pride and all greed and all these things, right? We messed up human, broken human beings have to be Christ's ambassadors. Let's close in prayer. You know what? Let's not. Let's talk about this a little bit more. Did I scare you there for a minute? Because it feels like this overwhelming thing. Now, how in the world can we accomplish this work? I mean, this afternoon when you're reading the rest of the chapter, which I know you will, you're going to read about how God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, the work the task. It's ours. He's given it to us. Now, Jesus ascended into heaven. And it's like, well, now it's on y'all, right? He ascended to heaven. We're making these appeals for him. So how do we do this thing? Two ways. First off, there's this, and this is important. So don't, if you've kind of been tuning out, tune back in now, all right? Jesus has given us a way to do what's impossible for us to do in our own strength. At the Last Supper, in John chapter 14, at the Last Supper, Jesus talks to his followers, and he says to them, he just tells them the truth. He's like, here's what's going to happen. You don't want this to happen, but here's what's going to happen. I'm leaving. And that's a big deal, because when Christ was with them, he protected them, he cared for them, he taught them, he led them. He's like, I am leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you to do this work. I'm not going to leave you to be the church and be my ambassadors and be, you know, engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to leave you to do this on your own and in your own strength and finding your own source of encouragement. No, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send somebody, and the somebody I'm going to send is, well, it's me, which is kind of confusing. Jesus promises his followers the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, okay, not that we want to get into a whole lesson on the Trinity here, but the Holy Spirit is one part of what we call the Trinity. By the way, that word Trinity doesn't really appear in the Bible. It's just a word we made up to try to describe this impossible thing, how God is one, and yet he's three. He's God in three persons. It's all the same God. And so we have God the Father who sent Jesus, Jesus the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And so let me just put it simply, who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. He's equal with God, but he is the God that lives within us and among us. The God that lives within us and among us. He's the God that convicts you, that prompts you. He's the God that gives you those flicks in your spirit, right? The Holy Spirit kind of nudges you in your spirit to take action, to do things, right? And so, and that did, like, some of us as Christians, I think we kind of take that for granted that we have this. So this was a new thing for the disciples. Like, well, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you God in spirit form. I'm going to give you the comfort of the counselor. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And here's the reality. We can't do the work that God has called us to do in our own strength. Fortunately, we have God within us and among us to do his own work through us. Huh? That's the only way we can do it. That's the only way we can be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, is through the power of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do it. Here's the other thing to keep in mind. This is another, originally a letter written by Paul in the book of Romans. It's Romans in your Bible, but he's writing to this church in Rome. And chapter 8 of this book, he writes about the fact that all of us who are followers of Jesus, we've got this destiny. We're being conformed or molded into the image of Jesus Christ. And so there's this idea, and it's not unique to the book of Romans, there's this idea throughout the New Testament that when we follow Jesus, there's something that dies and something else that's reborn. There's something that we need to let go of or die to, and something new takes over. There's a sacrifice that happens. I mean, Paul talked about it this way. You kind of read through Paul's journey and what he experienced. And by the way, Pastor Sean mentioned this last week or a couple weeks ago. We are looking forward to 2019. We're going to do a whole Bible reading in a year. We're going to do a chronological Bible reading in the year. One person's clapping about it. That's great, okay? We're looking forward to that. I'm giving it a test run this year. But here's what we're going to discover. We're going to read Paul's stuff chronologically, which is so awesome because you get a sense of his spiritual growth. And so at one point in his journey with Jesus, he realizes that, listen, I'm gone. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How are we doing? Goosebumps? Yeah, see? It's Christ who lives in me. Paul realized it. This is more than just self-denial. This is about dying to self and becoming something new, becoming something different. Okay, so I told you the story about the guy wearing the shirt and all that stuff. Let me tell you another story. Church I was a part of years and years, years ago. They're doing some kind of church-wide campaign or something where they were giving out, I forget if it was bumper stickers or like magnets for your car, something like that, that advertised the church or the name of the church or whatever the specific campaign was. I don't know. Sometimes churches do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so they were giving these stickers out, giving these magnets out. And so there was one gentleman in the church who said, no, I don't want one. No, I'm not going to put one on my car. And now some people just don't like to junk up their cars, and I get that. But he was very candid, very transparent about his reason why. He said, listen, I don't want that on my car because I get road rage. That's all there is to it. And I don't want people to see this sticker and make a connection between what I'm doing and how I'm living and what I'm saying, or if I flip somebody off, or if I'm yelling at somebody, or whatever it is. I don't want somebody to make a connection between that and the sticker on the back of my car, so I don't want one. And man, I appreciate that candor, don't you? But there's another way to think about it. What if you put the sticker on your car and stopped having road rage? You know what I mean? What if you change? What if you change? Do you want to hold on to that piece of you that you know is wrong and that you know is ugly? What if you actually transformed and became something new and said, okay, listen, I got this thing in my car, so that means I got to do this, right? Same with you. Don't throw out your Hope Community shirts, right? Don't throw out your orange shirts that represent Jesus. Keep them on. Say, okay, ooh, now that I'm wearing this, I got to change. I got to act differently. Part one of this series, what did I tell you about change? It doesn't happen unless you want to change, unless you want to change. And you have to be willing to sacrifice some stuff. And so here's the wonderful thing about being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We've got two options. You can lean away from it. Say, well, that's not who I am, and there's too much going on in my life that doesn't represent Jesus, and I want to hold on to all that. There's too much in my life that's not a reflection of who Christ is, so I'm going to hold on to all those things that I shouldn't hold on to and try to resist being an ambassador. If you take that approach, guess what? It doesn't matter. You're still an ambassador. So you can lean away and say, I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified, there's too much mess, there's too much whatever. You can lean away, or you can lean into it. And you say, okay, fair or not, I'm leaning into it. This is my job, whether I sign up for it or not, so I'm going to lean into it. And when you lean into it, what you'll discover is there are some things that have to change in your life. There are some things that have to be sacrificed, right? And there are. And here's the wonderful thing about this. When we lean into it, when we make those changes and our attitude changes and our words changes and our social media life changes and how we interact with people, when we make those positive changes, when we sacrifice the ugly stuff, we go, let's get rid of that. When we make those changes, guess who wins? Everybody wins, right? And if you're not comfortable with the term win, everybody benefits from that. You benefit from that because you've just given up some ugly stuff that you need to get rid of anyway, right? You no longer have that road rage. You no longer have that temper. You are giving that stuff up. You're no longer obnoxious. Well, good, right? You gave up bad stuff anyway. You benefit. You win a win. The people around you win. Because now they have in their presence, not a perfect, but a more accurate reflection of who Jesus is and what he's about. You win, they win. Guess who else wins? Jesus. I heard some whispers, Jesus, and someone's like, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus wins. It's a win, win, win. Oh, how often do you get that? Triple win. But it all goes back to what we said on week one. It's not going to happen unless you want it to. These changes in your life aren't going to happen unless you desire them and are willing to make sacrifices. But if you do this, just keep in mind, you're giving up stuff that you need to give up anyway, and everybody wins. And that way, we can all wear our Hope Community Church shirts 24/7, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're going to be better ambassadors. Okay, maybe not perfect, but better reflections. And here's the thing, and I feel like Jesus is counting on this, all right? So we got to deliver, right? We mess up, we make mistakes, but here's what we need to do as a collective, not just as a local church, but as the church, as Christians all over. There's got to be enough accurate reflections of Jesus in this world so that people can see him, right? I mean, we're going to stumble along the way. We've been stumbling along the way for 2,000 years. We're going to stumble along the way. But if we get to that critical mass where there's enough of us who have leaned into this being an ambassador thing, we can show the world who Jesus is. And the world starts right here. It starts with your friends. It starts with your neighbors. It starts with your coworkers. It starts with your circle of friends, your circle of influence, whatever you want to call it. The world starts here. And so collectively, we, as a church, we need to be an accurate ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But as an individual, you need to too. The individual and the collective, we need to work together so that when you're in the workplace or at school or out and about or wherever you are or at Home Depot or at a bar or wherever you are, that you're still an accurate representation of who Jesus is. We do that, we win, they win, Christ wins. We benefit, they benefit, Christ benefits. And so the question I want to leave you with today, to kind of make this a little bit more tangible for you, is this. What would you need to change in your life if you were going to wear your shirt, your hope shirt, everywhere you went? What would you need to change in your life if you were going to have that bumper sticker on your car that says, I'm a follower of Jesus? What would you need to change in your life? And don't whisper to other people. Think about you. What would you need to change in your life if you're going to wear that shirt or have that bumper sticker or get that fish tattoo? I don't know what to think. Anyway, whatever. What would you need to change? You know, I talk about the fish, you know, the fish, the symbol of Christ. Some people have a tattoo. What would you need to change? Should we give out tattoos next week? Next week, fish tattoos. All right, here we go. Someone's on board with that. What would you, think about this practically. What would you need to change to become a more accurate representation of Jesus? And then you make that change. And then you make those sacrifices. And the great news is we're not left on our own to do this challenging work. We're not left on our own to make these sacrifices. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, who is God. And through God, all things are possible. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, there are times, as I've expressed, it just feels like this whole situation isn't fair. It's not fair to you that you're stuck with us to be your ambassadors, and yet we know and we believe, Jesus, that we can do this thing through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I believe in you. I believe that you are God, and I believe that you are here, God. God the Spirit, you are here. You are within us. You are among us. And so, God the Spirit, I pray that you would give us what we need to be your ambassadors, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we post, whatever we share, whatever we like, let us represent you in all these things. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.